Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think we've been looking at this issue of newness. Praise God. Newness. According to God's definition, or scriptural definition. Amen. The new thing that God did was a man. Praise God. Jesus Christ. Jesus was raised from the dead. And when he arose, a new man came forth. A new man, kind of man that we haven't seen before, and that's the man. That's why we have to start learning about him. We have to begin to. We have to begin to receive the grace of God to gain access to the content of his person. Praise God. The new man is a spiritual man. So if it's a spiritual man, it means that the things that need to be known of him are spiritual things. It also means that we can't discern him naturally, right? He has to be discerned spiritually. Amen. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, right? Because Christ is new. If any man be in Christ, he is what? Mm-hmm. Himself becomes a new creature. All things are passed away, and everything becomes new. So Christ's newness wasn't just God doing, wasn't an experiment that God did and said, wow, I can bring forth a new thing, and that's lovely, let's bring, come to heaven, and that's it. No, he became new so that we can become what? We can become new as well. Praise God. Christ was new before as the Logos. Amen. But he came and took on our flesh, became like made like unto a servant, right? Even though he was like well, in the form of God, the Bible says he counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself, right? And then being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, right? Even the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2. Praise God. So he took obedience to bring forth, to make Christ raised back, to raise him back to his estate, right? Which he had before in the beginning. Now that new man who was resurrected, who was raised from the dead, that man was a man who was worthy to enter into the glory of God, or the glory of the Father. Amen. The glory of the Logos, or the glory of the Word that was from the before the beginning. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. In the book of John chapter 17, Jesus said something, right? He said, I have finished all the work that you sent me here to do, right? Therefore, glorify me with the glory which I had with you. So there is a glory that Jesus had with God. Together, they carried that glory. And that glory was the glory of the Logos. Let's see John chapter 17. John 17, verse 4, it says, I have glorified thee, right, on the earth. So this was a conversation Jesus was making with his Father, right? Mm-hmm. So I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had, what, with thee. Praise God. Before the world was. So there was a glory which he had with the Father. Amen. That glory which he had with the Father is the glory that he had in the form which he was before the world began. And we know that form is of his form as what? As the Logos of God. Amen? Or the Word was of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You see that same statement. So the glory which I had with you from before the world, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Praise God. And without him was nothing made that was made. And if you go down there in John chapter 1, verse, thank you, Jesus. Verse 14, right? It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So his glory was as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And we said before, the word only begotten means only begotten, only, the only thing which God gives birth to or God can produce. Does it make sense? Full of grace and truth. And for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18. No man had seen God at any time, but what, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So the only begotten Son, which is. So the Son is. Praise God. The Son is in the bosom of the Father. He had declared him. And that Son is the only begotten Son. Praise God. Now, this Son is a new man. Right? That's Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man is in him, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, everything becomes new. Praise God. Now, if anybody is in him, now where is he? According to where we read, he's in the bosom of the Father. Praise God. So if any man is in him, right, he is new. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now let's see the book of John chapter 14. Verse 8. John 14 verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's okay for us. It sufficeth us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet has not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen what? The Father. Why is that? Because John chapter 1 says that no man hath seen God at any time. Well, we just read. No man hath seen God at any time, but what? The only begotten Son, who is in what? The bosom of the Father, he has declared him. What's that declaration? For the Son to declare the Father means that he's able to make the Father seen. But you can't see the Father directly. You have to be able to see the Son. right? Because the Son is in the bosom of the Father, and the Son declares him from the bosom of the Father. Praise God. So he says that, have I been so long with you yet? You have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me, because I declare the Father, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Praise God. And the Father in me. Okay? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Believe me that I am what? In the Father. Verse 11. And the Father in me. Praise God. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Praise God. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. See this whole thing with sight here. Praise the Lord. The world does not see me, but ye see me. Now, you know, without seeing him, you cannot see the Father. Right? Now, the world cannot see him, but we can see me. We can see him. Praise God. If you go to verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, verse 16, said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. So this is seeth who now? In verse 17. Huh? The spirit of truth. Praise God. Praise God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, right? Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that what? I am in my Father, and ye in me, and what? And I in you. Can we see the wisdom of how God wants to engraft man back to himself? God wants to bring man into himself. That's the reason why he made man in the first place. God wants to receive man to himself. Now, all this whole language, being in me, you know, seeing me, this is all soul language. Do we realize that? Soul, the soul. Seeing is the soul that sees, the eyes of the heart. Right? So you cannot be dwelling in him if you've not seen him. The way you are come into him is by what? By sight. The eyes have to be opened to see him. Praise the Lord. That day ye shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Now if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things are passed away, and then everything becomes new. So you realize that thing of newness is actually a property of the Father. Anything that will become new has to be in the Father. Praise the Lord. What made Christ new is because Christ was in the Father. And our word for being in the Father is to be born of the Father. because he said the only begotten son to be begat, right, be him that is born. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the word begotten, birthing, I want us to see that word beyond that process of a child coming out of the womb, just that thing, something that's come out, then it has been born. That's true. Praise God. But I want us to look at the essence of the word born. To be begotten means you came from. To come from something means you're not just adopted. Do we know the difference between adoption and birth? The day you get born again, your soul was adopted. Your soul was not born. The spirit was born of God, but the soul wasn't born. The soul became a child of God by adoption. A child has adopted, though he has become the child of the parent, but he doesn't have the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He doesn't have the genetic properties or the life properties of the father. So he's not born. Praise the Lord. Now, God is saying it's not okay for you to be adopted. The hope of the New Testament doesn't stop at adoption. It doesn't stop. Adoption is the same as redemption. To be redeemed means you paid for it. Right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Or we're bought. Got paid, and then we're adopted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Full redemption is beyond just payment. Amen.
Yeah.
When you've come to full redemption. Praise the Lord. Is beyond the price that was paid for you. The price can be paid for you, but you've not been actually redeemed fully. You can go and sign the papers for your house. You've made the money transfer. You've made everything. Legally, that house is yours.
Yes.
But you haven't redeemed the house until you've possessed the house. You can pay for something. It's yours by law, but you haven't taken it until you've... It's not yours. I mean, you've not made it yours until you've actually taken it. That's the same way the soul is. God, by virtue of the transaction in the spirit, God has paid the price and taken ownership of us, our soul. He has become our bishop. He's become the main pastor of the soul. He's become the owner, the Lord of our soul. But in a legal way, he is. But someone who has been paid for can still be serving in a different man, another man's house.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he can still be a servant of another man, even though he belongs to somebody else, until he is what? Redeemed. He has not been what? He's not effectively yours until you've taken him and he's becomes a servant of yours. God gave the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the first thing the soul receives. The reason why the Spirit is given is so that the soul can be redeemed. Can we put our hands here and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know that Satan has sold like a wrong understanding of Christianity to us. Amen. I mean, really think of it. I mean, what use is God? Why did God purchase a person if the person is still going to keep living their lives the same way they were before they were born again, right? Sometimes we abstract the idea of what God did too much that it's not brought to bear right, in our person.
Yeah.
The Christian will say, well, Christ died for me, you know, he shed his blood for me, I'm redeemed, I'm going to heaven and all that stuff. Okay, but how does that come to bear on you as a person? What happened? You know what it means to say that you belong to God, you are a child of God? That word, I am a child of God. You are a child of God. Praise the Lord. So we've almost taken it for, we've almost entered the place of ease. Well, it's okay, it has happened and that's it. We are born again. Let's just enjoy our Christianity. No. No, praise the Lord. God paid such a great price, the greatest price for something. He didn't just pay for it and abandon it. There's a use. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why he took it. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse. Amen. There are people who don't see the need for this kind of thing that we are doing, this kind of, you know, opening the scripture. You're trying to, by knowledge, by revelation, gain access to the secrets of God. What we are doing is that we are just being opening our soul to redemption, right? We are your house. God wants to put things in us. So we are saying we want to yield ourselves. We want to find out those things that are supposed to be on the inside of us and take hold of them. That's what we are doing. Praise the Lord. But some people don't see value in that. Why should you be bothering yourself too much? You're a Christian. You have the power of God. You can do things and all that. Exercise yourself. Go and demonstrate the power of God and all that. But the real reason for which we were redeemed is neglected. That's the work of Satan. You see, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, thank you. Verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Paul is trying to describe where the idea of redemption came from, where it originated from, the thought of man, where did it come from? Praise God. And that thing is a mystery. That's why men don't know it. That's why someone can even be the greatest mega evangelist, but might not have come into the mystery of his will. Why was the purpose of creation? Because it's a mystery. It's hidden in the heart of God. It's a hidden intention of the Father. Why he brought forth creation. Amen. Mm-hmm. To take journey in light, journey in revelation. Amen. To come to that mystery. It says, having made known to us what? The mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that word fullness of times is not just speaking about calendar time or this year or that year. Amen. When you speak of times and seasons in the eyes of God, it's not in a calendar way. Praise God. Times and seasons is in terms of the preparation, how things are arranged. There are certain things that must happen at a certain time. Amen. In God's eyes. But God can wait centuries. Amen. And centuries can pass because the requirement for those things to happen haven't reached. So the fullness of the time has not come. And in creation, God's time is the soul of men. That's God's time clock. For example, it says no man knoweth the time when Jesus Christ will come, right? The time, the clock that the Father is looking at to determine whether it's time for the second coming of the Son is the souls of men. There's a time when the fullness of time would have come by virtue of where man has come to. Praise God. Because everything was made for man. Amen. And the pace of man's journey will determine how quick. That's why Peter said, looking for and hasting unto what? The coming of the day of the Lord. There's a way you can hasten it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Look for it. You hasten it. We redeem the time. We redeem the time by virtue of the soul redemption. As the soul is coming into the fullness of what God has designed, the time is coming nearer. Praise God. Now it says here that in whom we have obtained an inheritance, okay, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, verse 10, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained. What does that idea of gathering all things? That gathering all things has to do with redemption. Praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ, a new creation, all things have passed away, and everything, all things have become new. All things are of God. Next, that's the next verse, right? Now, it says, verse 11, that's in him, that's in Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen.
Yeah.
We are what? Predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word, who first trusted in Christ, has to do with the beginning of salvation. That first trust is when you got born again. You know, it was a soul that believed that made you get born again. That's the first trust of the soul. The beginning of salvation. And the reason for that first trust is in God's heart, because God works all things according to the counsel of his will, is that we should be toward the praise of his glory. Does it make sense? So we need to come into praise. Now, we cannot be to the praise of his glory if we have not come into his glory. The word praise has to do with a work, a stature, something. There's some, when something has been fulfilled, then it triggers praise. Does it make sense? So when you say to be to the praise of his glory, read verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption, right, of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So the predestination is that we'll be adopted. That's the first thing that happens to the soul. But that's not the end. Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What is the pleasure? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved. So the end of adoption is praise.
Yeah.
The reason why we are adopted is so that we can bring forth the praise. So when we come to the product of his glory, right? That word glory is in the order of Christ. The same glory of the first begotten. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then of his fullness we have received what? Grace for grace. So we are to the praise of the glory of his grace. See that in verse 5. You see that?
Six.
Verse 6 here. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. If we go back to verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that was for our adoption, right?
Yes.
In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your word, salvation. That was when you first trusted. When you hear the word of truth. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of what? Of promise. Remember in John 14 where we read, he said that I won't leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Right? He now spoke of the Holy Spirit. whom the world cannot receive, but you will receive, because the world does not see him, but you will see him. So the seeing starts with the Spirit first. The Spirit was given, is the Spirit of promise. He said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which the Father will what send in my name. He will now begin to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that was said unto you. Right? Mm-hmm. Bible speaks about the promise of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of promise. Why? He is the first token. It's like the down payment. When God releases the Holy Spirit to a soul, to a person, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. All the works, all the things of the Holy Ghost, all the things that fall under the name of the Holy Ghost, all the things the Holy Spirit can do. See the book of Acts. That's just the beginning part. Then you now move into the workings of the Spirit, the seven spirits of God operating to bring forth toward revelation. All the activities of the Holy Spirit fall under the what? Down payment. It's all promise. It means that it doesn't end in itself. So no one should ever glory or become satisfied by receiving what and operating in the capacity and the name of the Holy Spirit. Because the commission that God gave, remember what he gave the disciples commission, say, go you into the world and what? Teach the nations, baptizing them. That word baptizing doesn't mean water baptism. It means immersing them. Immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are three names which we ought to come into. The first one is the name of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now it says that we should be to the praise of the glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, that to that Holy Spirit, which is what? The earnest. What does the word earnest mean? Does someone?
A guarantee.
A token. Right? A guarantee. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Which is the earnest of our what? Inheritance. Until the redemption of what? The purchased possession. Unto what? The praise of his glory. So they will make a down payment, or it's actually a full payment. And that payment is a guarantee that will guarantee the redemption of that which has been purchased. So that's what's the Holy Spirit's job? The Holy Spirit's job is just that, to stay with you. Someone that's born again can still be wicked, can still be keeping malice, can still be, backbiting and stealing and all that. There are Christians who even fornicate and do all those unclean stuff. Praise the Lord. But such a believer, the Holy Spirit is still there. The Holy Spirit is waging war on the inside. What is his job? To be able to keep this soul, help this soul, and be there, and then begin to impart the things of God. The Holy Spirit will wrestle with your heart. It doesn't go away. You do something bad, you say, I won't do it again. Tomorrow you do it again. The Holy Spirit is still there, still talking to you, still trying to convince you. Say, no, that's not what you shouldn't do that. Why did you do that? Don't do that. He said that the world does not receive him, but you will receive him. Praise the Lord. He said that the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, who shall what guide you. He said that he will bring to your remembrance all the things. He's always there reminding. Why is he doing that? Because his job is to hold you and keep you until what? The redemption, until the full redemption of your soul. Then you will grow to a point where he will now open himself into seven places as the seven spirits of God. Spirit of wisdom, revelation, counsel, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord himself. Those are all still dimensions of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will now begin to import the materials of the Son into the soul. and begin to raise the building of God in the heart. Praise the Lord. Since if any man be in Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that's able to bring a man into Christ. That's his job. Praise God. I was going to speak a little bit about the being begotten, but there's no time. Let's just begin to thank God for the word. Father, thank you for... Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your light. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our inheritance. Father, thank you. Thank you for making it so abundantly clear to us this morning, for emphasizing your desire. Father, the counsel of your will, what you propose in your heart for us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be to the praise of the glory of your grace. Father, we thank you and give you praise. Thank you. Thank you, Father. You dwell
between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim.